And what kind of duties had you been doing and had the Wild Swan been doing?
Well, on the Wild Swan, I was naturally seaman, spent my time, I suppose, cleaning up the ship, and my action station was director sight setter on the bridge, because guns were controlled from the bridge by a director. The gun's crew loaded the gun, followed their instruments to train and lay the gun, but it was actually fired from the bridge by the gunnery officer, who would be looking through the, he would be in the director, actually looking at the target, and he would decide when and where to pull the trigger.
And did you have the same action station in HMS Blanche?
Yes, and on the Blanche, I was the called the captain's writer. We did not carry any members of the writer branch at all, so any bright seaman who could count up to 10 without taking his boots off was appointed captain's writer. And it was very interesting. It's where I learned to type. I had to type all the letters, copy them on a jelly pad. And I quite enjoyed it, and even set the ship alight, because we used to do the duplicating in a jelly pad. We'd use a hectographic carbon, which is a nasty blue thing like indelible ink, to type a letter. Would paste the original onto the jelly pad and roll it with a squeegee. Then, after a few seconds, it would be peeled off, leaving the hectographic image in the jelly. And then you could run off to about 8 or 9 copies of it by putting a clean sheet of paper over it and again rolling it with the squeegee and then peeling it off. And every so often the jelly needed to be replaced, which meant that it was scraped and thrown overboard, and then the replacement was in tins, and these tins had to be melted. So what I would do is lay the little heater, we had an electric heater in the office, I would lay it on the floor and switch it on, stand a couple of cans of jelly on it to melt them, and then pour them into the jelly dish. Well, I'd got as far one day as putting 2 cans onto the fire when action stations sounded. Well, with years of training and bullying, if you wish, the moment action station sounds, doesn't matter a damn what you're doing, you drop everything. So I dropped everything, went up to the bridge where I was director sight setter. And after we'd had our fun and games and the captain had been doing this, done everything except turn the ship over, it all went quiet and we were stood down. And I took my time walking back to the ship's office because I had nothing else to do. Before I got there, I noticed that the stern of the ship seemed to be alight. There were black clouds of smoke coming everywhere. Lots of sailors running around, shouting, bellowing, and dragging hose pipes. And I thought, thank God I'm not mixed up in that. I'm the ship's writer. I don't do things like that. I'm not fire party. And then when it was all over, Jimmy the One came by, that's the First Lieutenant Commander, and he saw me sitting quietly out of harm's way, stopped and said, "Skeets, you're a bloody idiot." And I thought, well, what on earth have I done to upset you? So I thought, I'll go down the ship's office and have a sulk. Except that when I got to the ship's office, there wasn't much of the office left. The jelly in the manoeuvring of the ship, the jelly had fallen over onto this electric fire. It happened to be inflammable. Of course, the ship's office went up. And of course, I had to bail it out. There's about a foot of water in there, lots of ash and so on. And that was when I found out I'd been selected as an officer candidate. Because Any moment I expected to be arrested, flung in cells, hung, drawn, quartered, keel-hauled, and walked the plank and goodness knows what. Nothing happened. And the day afterwards, the ship's officer that would work with me in the ship's office said to me I'd been a complete idiot, but he said the captain has decided to take no action because it might prejudice your career. And I thought, well, what career? I'm an able seaman and I'm only going to be a sailor. What career? And I didn't find out until 2 years afterwards when I was pitched into Pompey Barracks on a, what they called an upper yardman's course. Suitable candidates for officer rank were sent on special courses, upper yardman courses, and they had the unique privilege of having a pure white cap band so that you could tell an upper yardman from 3 miles away because of his white, pure white cap band. And I thought that's why I didn't get hung on the Blanche, if this is what they had in store for me. Anyway, before a few days had passed, I was told, Skeets, you're on the Commodore's report Thursday. Naturally, I thought, now what the hell have I done? Got in front of the Commodore, and I can't do a naval officer's speech very well, but he said, oh, Skeets. He said, I have a piece of paper here. And he waved it in front of me. He said, calling you for service as air gunner. He said, I presume you'll want me to tear it up. And I said, oh, no, sir, I want to be an air gunner. Because I'd volunteered 3 years before to be an air gunner and desperately looked forward to it. Are you telling me that you would sooner be an air gunner than a naval officer? I said, yes, sir. And he couldn't speak. He was utterly speechless. I think, looking back, he'd never been so insulted in his life that a rating should say he'd sooner be an air gunner than join the merry band of naval officers. Because I'd wanted to fly since I was that big. When I was a boy, all Jack wanted for a Christmas present was a model aeroplane. And so I thought, no, this is my chance to fly. I'm not bothered about being a naval officer. And so that was it. I was pitched off the course and I was on the next course of air gunners at Worthy Down.
How far had you got with training to
be
on?
Oh, only the preliminaries. Nothing serious.
But had being a naval officer no attraction to you?
Not a bit. Well, I'd learned to heartily dislike them. I won't say more than dislike. Naturally, we feared them because almost our lives were in their hands. We could be punished for the drop of a hat. We used to say, you get punished if you breathe, you get punished if you don't breathe. Because pre-war Navy was all discipline. Discipline, crime and punishment. And I had no great love for a naval officer.
But you could have joined them rather than...
Could have joined them, yes. But it, funnily enough, didn't attract me any great deal. I acknowledged that I'd have a better standard of life. But, as I say, it didn't... there was no great pull.
So, when was this that you had the chance of becoming an air gunner?
Oh, 1938. I'm going
to... Just go from memory, but...
Yes, that was the tail end of 38. So I then went to Worthy Down in 1939 and became a member of number 11 Air Gunners Course.
Can you tell me about the training that you had at Worthy Down, please?
The training at Worthy Down was the technical side. where we were taught radio, sending Morse by various means, buzzer, flag, and so on. And we also had zogging, which was where crews could talk to one another in the air by making Morse with the arm, which of course didn't need the radio if there was radio silence, and mostly technical work there. And after part one, we went to Eastleigh, where we became number one course, and started our flying training.
How did you cope with the course at Worthy Down?
Oh, no problem. I was in the A stream.
This is Eastleigh near Southampton?
Yep.
Was it called Royal Naval Air Station?
Yes. I've forgotten the name of it. Was it Raven? No, I think Raven was Worthy Down. Kestrel was Crail.
Don't worry, that.
Without referring to my records, but it was RNAS Eastleigh.
How did you get on with the flying training?
Thoroughly enjoyed it. We had two very famous people knocking about. Rafe the Rover, Ralph Richardson, and Lolly Ollie, as he was known, Laurence Olivier. But they soon took Olivier off flying, and Ralph Richardson crash-landed with a very great friend of mine during the course, Todd. But neither of them got into first-line flying.
Were they not very good pilots?
No. They were people who'd taken their civilian licence because film stars, plenty of money and so on, but neither of them made very good naval pilots, and Olivier very soon dropped out, and Ralph Richardson, I'm told they made a job for him. He was, when I got back from hospital, he was at Lee and met him again. He was area parachute officer, and no one could tell me what his duties were, but he was there. I think the Admiralty found it useful for PR work to have a couple of famous names prancing around in naval uniform with wings on their cuff. Must have helped recruitment no end.
So you already knew about their fame as actors, did you?
Yes.
Did you have anything personally to do with either of them?
The only time I had anything to do with either of them was when I took my life and freedom in my hands, went up to them one day individually and asked them to autograph my flying log. So I have Ralph Richardson in the front and I had Lolly Ollie on the back. But whilst it might have been very valuable today, I left the Furious on a stretcher and nobody knows what happened to my kit.
Why was he called Lolly Ollie?
Well, there's everyone's. His name was Laurence Olivier. But to the sailors, he was known as Lolly Ollie.
And why was Richardson called Ralph the Rover?
Well, you've heard of Sir Ralph the Rover, famous poem. Sir Ralph the Rover trod the decks. There's a poem about Ralph the Rover. He was a pirate. And it also indicates the respect we had for them.
Or lack of it?
Better, yes.